All right, in this lesson we're building a Reese Jungle Base Wobble in Ableton Live 12, but the real focus is routing, resampling, and arranging it like it belongs in an actual drum and bass record, because that's the difference here. Anyone can make a bass patch move. The advanced move is turning that movement into a structured drop, with tension, release, call and response, and enough control that the mix still hits hard on a club system. That's what we're doing today. First, set up your session cleanly. Create separate tracks for your drum group, sub-bass, Reese mid, resample print, and any return effects you want to use. If you're already thinking like a pro, you can keep the sub and the mid in a bass group, but keep them as separate tracks. That separation matters a lot in DNB, because the sub needs to stay stable and centered, while the Reese does the talking up top. Get your headroom under control early. Don't start smashing the master. Leave space. Aim for the whole mix to peak around -6 dB before any limiting. That gives you room when the bass and drum start pushing against each other. Now let's build the Reese mid. Load up Waveeatable or Analog. Waveeatable is especially nice here, because it gives you that modern phase-heady movement without much effort. Start simple. Saw on oscillator 1. Saw on oscillator 2. Detune them slightly and keep the unison modest. 2 to 4 voices is plenty to start. You want width and tension, not a blurry cloud. And here's the key idea. This layer is not your sub. Don't try to make it do everything. The Reese mid should live in the low mids and upper bass range, where it can move, distort, and wobble without wrecking the bottom end. Now build the sub separately. Use operator or simpler with a sine wave. Keep it mono. If needed, put utility on it and force it to mono. If there's any extra buzz or harmonics, clean it up with EQ8. This layer should be boring in the best possible way. In drum and bass, boring sub is good sub. The sub should feel like a foundation, not a character. Write a short MIDI pattern that supports the groove. Don't overcomplicate it. For a jungle or roller style phrase, maybe hold the root for a bar or two, then jump an octave, then add a short pickup note before the phrase repeats. The sub should follow the drums, not fight them. If your break is busy, keep the sub notes shorter and give the rhythm room to breathe. Now for the Reese movement. On the mid layer, build a chain with Waveeatable, auto filter, saturator, maybe a compressor or glue compressor, and then utility at the end. That gives you enough control to shape the wobble without destroying the sound. Set the auto filter to a low pass mode, 12 or 24 dB. Add some resonance, but don't go crazy. Then add a little drive. That movement between filter opening, saturation, and stereo width is what gives the Reese that classic DNB tension. Here's a good starting point. Filter cutoff moving in slow pulses for a roller vibe, or tighter 1/8 or dotted 1/8 movement for a more neuro-leaning push. The trick is to make the bass feel like it's breathing with the drums, not constantly changing pitch, just moving enough to stay alive. And this is where a lot of people overdo it. You do not need 10 modulation sources. Usually one or two strong motions are enough. If the cutoff is doing the heavy lifting, let it do the heavy lifting. Keep the rest disciplined. Next, we resample. This is the advanced part, and honestly, this is where the track starts becoming a record instead of just a loop. Create a new audio track called Resample Print. Set its input to resampling, turn monitoring on, and arm it to record. Now play your Reese mid, while your automation runs and print a few bars of it as audio. If you want to be even more targeted, you can route directly from the Reese mid track, depending on how you want to capture the signal. The important thing is to print the sound after processing, not just keep it as a live synth patch. And don't just print one version. Print multiple passes if you can. Print one clean. Print one with more drive. Print one with extra filter movement. Print one that has a slightly different automation shape. Those options are gold later when you're arranging. Once it's audio, it becomes much easier to compose with. That's the big advantage. You can treat the bass like performance material instead of a never-ending synth tweak session. Now open that resampled clip in arrangement view and start editing it like a phrase. Think in questions and answers. Maybe a two-bar phrase asks a question. The next two bars answer it. Then you drop in a one-bar fill. Then a half-bar pickup into the next section. This is where Ableton's clip envelopes become super useful. Instead of reaching for more devices, use clip gain, transpose, and fades to shape the audio. A small fade-in can make a clipped stab feel sucked in. A tiny pitch shift of 1 to 3 semitones can create a really effective arination. Reversing a short tail before a snare fill can create that little inhale of tension that makes the drop feel alive. A great DNB arrangement move is to let the drums speak and the bass respond. So maybe the bass leaves beat 1 empty, then answers on the offbeat after the snare. Or maybe it holds back for a bar, then hits with a short wobble reply. That call and response relationship is a huge part of why drum and bass feels so engaging. Also, keep an eye on the relationship between the bass and the break. That's the real conversation. If the break is busy, the bass should leave space. If the bass is more continuous, then the break needs to stay clear enough for the groove to breathe. In jungle especially, space is power. Now let's talk routing and mix discipline. Put your drum elements on their own bus. Keep your bass on its own bus too. On the Reese mid, high pass somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz so it doesn't crowd the sub. If there are harsh resonant zones, notch them out gently. Don't be too aggressive. The goal is to separate the rolls, not sterilize the sound. On the drum bus, a little glue compressor can help glue the break together, maybe just 1 to 2 dB of reduction. That keeps the break tight without flattening it. Then make sure the bass sits around it instead of on top of it. If your kick and snare are strong, shape the bass around those anchors. Now make the arrangement feel like a real drop. Don't just loop 8 bars forever. Build in movement. A strong DNB structure might start with an 8-bar intro tension section, then a 16-bar main drop phrase, then a 4-bar switch-up with resampled fills, and then a DJ-friendly outro or exit point. The drop should evolve. Maybe bars 1 through 8 give you the main motif. Bars 9 through 12 strip things back a little so the drums can breathe. Bars 13 through 16 bring in more chopped audio, reverse tails or pitch dips. That way the section feels like it's going somewhere. And here's a really useful trick. Automate the width of the Reese mid. Keep it narrower in the build-up, then let it open up when the drop hits. But remember, the true low end should stay centered. Width is for the upper movement, not the sub. If the bass feels wide but weak, that's usually because the wrong part of the sound is doing the widening. You can also automate a high-pass sweep on the resampled audio right before the drop lands. That works especially well in jungle and darker rollers, because it creates that pre-impact lift without washing everything out. If you want more intensity, add transition effects on the resampled phrases. A little reverb send on a tail note, a short echo throw, a bit of redux or saturator for a switch-up moment, or a narrow filter sweep can all help the bass feel like part of a produced arrangement instead of just a loop. Now, as you're editing, keep asking one important question. Does this phrase leave enough space for the snare? If the answer is no, shorten the bass. Don't just EQ harder. In drum and bass, arrangement choices often solve problems better than processing does. A few advanced moves here. If the wobble feels slightly late against the break, use track delay or nudge the audio a little. Tiny timing changes can make the groove lock in much harder. If you want a darker edge, print the bass through another distortion stage and then reprint it. Layered printed dirt often sounds better than endless live plugins. You can also create 3 Reese personalities from the same patch. One cleaner version for the main groove. One dirtier mid-range version for fills. One filtered tension version for intros and breaks. That way you're not trying to make one patch do every job in the arrangement. Another useful trick. Create a stutter version by slicing a 1-beat bass hit into 1/16 notes and rearranging them before a drop reset. That kind of little audio edit can instantly make the section feel more alive. Before you wrap up, do a mono check. Put utility on the master or bass bus and collapse it to mono for a moment. The sub should still feel solid. The mid-range movement should still make musical sense. If the sound falls apart in mono, you probably have too much width in the wrong place. So to recap the core idea, keep the sub separate and mono, build the Reese mid with modulation and filter movement, resample it into audio, and then arrange that audio like a performance. Don't think of it as a loop, think of it as a phrase-based bass instrument that answers the break and evolves over time. That's the sound of a finished drum and bass section. Not just a patch, a performance, a proper one.